He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
It is indeed, and I have a couple of topics to discuss. We have talked about Carvana on the, Carvana, on this show a few times. Jay has talked about it. It's a used car sales operation that buys cars, reconditions them, and then sells them out of dispensing machines. But that's sort of only when there are dispensing machines nearby the person who might be ordering a Carvana. And yours truly ordered a vehicle by Carvana and got it delivered over the weekend, not by a dispensing machine, which is nowhere near me and nowhere near any place in Connecticut, but by a regular Carvana labeled flatbed truck. The whole process was very interesting. It was done by phone or online, depending on how competent I was, and I wasn't very competent, so I was on the phone with quite a few customer associates, as they call themselves, all of whom were located in Arizona. Carvana itself is headquartered in Georgia, and the cars come from all over the country. Be as it may, it was a basically painless process, including financing the car through Carvana. And they take care of the licensing and registration of the vehicle. And the car comes delivered with a Georgia temporary plate, cardboard. And they will send me, or somebody will send me, the actual plates and registration and all that stuff by mail as soon as they've gotten the process done at Connecticut DMV place. The car itself was an SUV. A Jeep Cherokee. It's replacing a leased Jeep Cherokee, which ends this month. And the condition of the car was immaculate so far. I have found, since the taking delivery, a couple of things will need repair, which will be serviced by Carvana's Silverbrook Service Centers, or company that runs service centers for all warranty work on Carvana cars, and they are so minor as to be not functionally disarming of the car. They're just little details like a broken latch on something in the car, and unbeknownst to me, but told to me by the delivery person who spotted it, a chip in the windshield, which may or may not require a windshield replacement, but it will be covered under Carvana's 3-month, 4,492-mile warranty, and they are very, very good at communicating with me. I already have gotten a note from the Silverbrook Group within 24 hours of having taken delivery of the vehicle that they have approved the repairs that have been registered by the delivery person who registered them actually, before he departed from my location in Lakeville, Connecticut.
Hey, Robin, can you start from the beginning? And I want to get back to where you are now, but walk us through how did you initiate the search? I mean, were you looking for the vehicle and were looking across multiple platforms?
Straight
to Carvana and at other vehicles.
Yeah, here's what happens. I have this Jeep which has been leased for 3 years. It ended. Made my last payment in April, and I was thoroughly planning on purchasing it. But I've been looking at Carvana for a while, watching its website. And the Jeep that I decided to buy instead of my leased Jeep, which I will turn in, popped up and was overwhelmingly more desirable than my existing Jeep.
How so?
Contacted Carvana and...
Less miles?
Excuse me?
Jay was wondering, and I am too, why was it more desirable?
Because it was an upgraded version of it. It has navigation and other features that my economy level of equipment Jeep Cherokee did not have, and I decided I liked that idea. Heated seat, well, it had a number of things, plus it was a different color that I liked. And so when I contacted Carvana, they contacted me back, and the process started. And it was it's basically a one-price thing. You do not negotiate the price that is listed on online and in the pictures and whatever. They compute the total price because they add in the sales tax for the state that you're in my case, Connecticut. The registration, the cost of registering the vehicle, and any costs associated, there were no costs associated with financing it through Carvana other than the interest rate for the loan. And the loan can go from, you know, as short as you want to do it, I say short would be 24 months, up to 72 months. All of which adjust the amount of monthly money that you have to put out. And when you're looking at a car that's roughly $25,000, you can put down a deposit, a down payment against that overall price, which was 25 and change.
And who is it financed through? Is it Carvana or a different bank? Because it looks like
It's Carvana. It's Carvana. However, I will tell anybody who is familiar with financing and knows how to check financing rates that, and if you're an AAA member and you go online to discuss financing through AAA's bank, you can save a considerable amount of money. And I am going to refinance this vehicle within a month through the AAA banking system because the interest rate for me will be 2.99% instead of 4.54%, which is what Carvana's rate was for the equivalent, in this case, five-year loan. The interesting thing about the AAA bank situation is that they told me they won't finance anything from Carvana directly because they've had lots of issues with Carvana's VIN numbers and various other things that came out in the with the banking agent that I spoke with. That is not the case with me, although there is one thing I have to do or I may be asked to do by Connecticut DMV, which will be take the vehicle in so somebody at Connecticut DMV can confirm that the VIN number on the vehicle matches what Carvana's records have delivered to them for getting the license and registration. I think with COVID still going on and probably DMV, I don't know whether DMV offices are open or closed, Jay, you might know. I could probably photograph the VIN number in the windshield of the vehicle and send that to them, but I do not know whether I'm going to be requested to confirm the VIN number or not. But other than that, it was basically painless. There were a couple of little glitches, also painless, in the delivery situation because the delivery was started in on one day and ended up being changed twice, once because of my...
Hold on. Where did your car come from, and was there a delivery charge?
There was a delivery charge. It was $490.
Yep. Where was the car coming from?
The car came from Westport, Connecticut's hub. Carvana has preparation hubs, one in Hartford and one in Westport, Connecticut, where they, I don't know where the reconditioning starts with this car. This car was a Michigan car. An interesting thing about cars, which I discovered, if they have navigation systems and you buy a used car with a navigation system, the best way to find out where the car has been is to go in and go into the menu and go to set up a menu, request a destination, and if it pops up recent destinations, you push on recent destinations, you can find a whole history of where this car existed. This car existed in Michigan for much of its 39,000-mile life, which is what it had on it, or has on it. And I saw 30 different trips on there, and they were all to points in Michigan, as far as I could tell. I had a road atlas out so I could find what was going on, but I recognized some of the places this car visited during its life. It was a three-year lease vehicle. Comes with a Carfax report showing the entire service history of the car, if it has been entered by the dealer, and this one was, and it was serviced by a Jeep dealer in Michigan. The car has a couple of minor, tiny little paint chip issues on the hood from a stone chip, which probably I can get fixed, I hope, through Carvana, and a couple of things that have to be repaired, such as a windshield and a broken closure clip and on the center console. And that's basically it. I've had it for less than 2 days from this this show's recording, and so far everything is great. I have a week to test it. I have a week or 400 miles in which to call up Carvana if I don't like it and tell them to pick it up and at their cost and return it to them without charge, which I can get my money back, or else I can try to duplicate it with another car of the same price, or roughly the same price, I guess. And then there's a 3 month, 100-day, 4,492-mile total vehicle warranty through Carvana's warranty company to fix anything that might show up.
Is there any remaining factory warranty on the car?
There is. Jeeps come with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain warranty. And this Jeep is a 2019. It was produced in 2018 and went into service roughly March or April of 2018. It is now May of 2021, so that's 3 years. So I have approximately 2 years or 20,000, let's see, 39,000, yeah, roughly 21,000 miles of mechanical powertrain warranty left on the vehicle. The rest of the vehicle warranty has expired because it's over the 36,000-mile warranty for the whole vehicle, except for Carvana's warranty program of 100 days or 4,400 miles and change.
So was this the vehicle more expensive than the buyout of the vehicle you're currently leasing?
Yes, it was. It was more expensive. The buyout I'm currently leasing is has under 36,000 miles, which is my least amount of miles. It's 33,000 miles as we talk. That vehicle had a buyout cost of $18,881 plus Connecticut sales tax and relicensing the vehicle, which I guess I'd have to do since Chrysler owns the vehicle, has owned the vehicle for the duration of the lease. And it does not come with any warranty beyond what it has left on it, which would be the powertrain warranty. And 3 years is up as of May 23rd in this case. And so even though the mileage was under 36,000 miles, the warranty on the vehicle expires in a time frame or a mileage frame, as do all new cars. Anybody or they're generally, I see on the stickers of cars, whether it's Ford, Chrysler, Chevy, or what, 3 years, 36,000 miles, total vehicle warranty, or 5 years, 60,000 miles for most powertrain warranties. We know, and as the show has said, that Hyundais and Kias have 10-year, 100,000-mile warranties on their powertrains. So warranties vary by the manufacturer. Certainly in powertrain,
so,
at the powertrain
so basically
level.
Bought the same car, but with heated seats, leather seats maybe?
Navigation, leather interior, power tailgate.
All that for $6,000.
What, more than mine?
24 minus the 18.
No, the car was under the used car pricing. Of these is calculated not on that basis, but yes, it appears that the vehicle that I was leasing has a much lower, a significantly lower level of equipment. This the new one has the new used one. Carvana has side blind spot monitoring, which the leased Jeep does not have, and that is a very significant safety feature, I think, in all cars. That was a determining feeling feature that I found appealing as well.
Well, that's great, Robin. I think you should, we should move on, but you should come back and update us on the
I think periodic updates might be appropriate on this vehicle. But the overall experience for Carvana was very pleasing to me. I didn't have to do anything but meet them at my delivery address, which was my office in Lakeville. And they delivered a packet of paperwork. I'd done all the paperwork. I'd signed the lease online and didn't really have to go anywhere to do anything. And the nice thing is I don't have to go to the Connecticut DMV to get it licensed.
Right.
So that's that. Moving on, Motor Trend is one of my favorite automotive issues, and their June 2021 issue is titled on the heading, the green issue. And it's a whole issue of comparos between full electric cars and hybrids and maybe even some non-hybrids and non-electric cars. But I think this issue is going to be very instrumental in affecting maybe a lot of people if they read this magazine, and auto enthusiasts do, and auto enthusiasts generally know more about vehicles than non-auto enthusiasts. Jay, you have been particularly positive about electric cars taking over the roads. I have been less positive for reasons that have been well known on this show. But as the infrastructure for recharging gets better, and it gets better probably by the week, the way things seem to be going with Electrify America, except for them, it's always been discussion about Tesla charging stations, and we have one in Canaan.
And the gas shortage we're going to be facing this summer?
There's going to be no gas shortage facing this summer. I don't know where you got that off, but there's not going to be no gas shortage, I don't think. We had gas shortages back in the 80s, I think, with the odd and even license plate thing. We're not going to have gas shortages.
There is a story out there going on. And
yeah, but it's a story, and I don't think it holds any, short of a disaster in the production department, I don't think it holds any water.
No, it's in the distribution department. There's a lack of tractor-trailer drivers right now, and I think it's something like 40% of fuel tractor-trailer tankers are sitting idle because of a lack of drivers. And as driving picks up again this year after the pandemic year, oil companies are having a problem.
Well, the tractor-trailer industry is having the problem, not the oil companies per se. One of the delays in my delivery of the Carvana was because they didn't have a driver to deliver it on Friday afternoon, which is when it was supposed to come. So to your comment about driver shortage, it's not just oil companies that are having the problem. Yes, it could be a spot shortage here and there. You know, it's interesting to see how often we see gas deliveries being delivered in our broadcast area, meaning the two stations we have between Lakeville and Sharon. And I've tried to calculate how many cars it takes to empty a tractor trailer load of fuel. I don't know what they carry, and some carry both premium and regular in one tanker, so there's probably half as much in there as you think there is at one level or another of the gas, whether you're buying premium or regular. I don't think there's no longer a mid-grade delivery separate. I think they have metering systems that meter the mid-grades where there are mid-grade fuels available, 89 octane or 91 instead of 87 or 91, are blended, I believe, as opposed to delivered to the tanks. But in any event, yes, there could be spot shortages, Jay. I know you want to have some justification for this rumor, but I don't think it's going to be anything great. It won't be like what we had in the last century.
For anyone, I'm just we've got 6 minutes left. I will just throw in, though, Robin, that for anyone who didn't go through that in the, quote, last century, and for people who are just absolutely used to having what they want when they want it, it may be interesting.
Well, it'll be in the news, and there'll be a station that won't have fuel. Maybe your favorite station will be out in a particular situation because they didn't have a driver for that particular delivery, but it's not going to be a national.
All right, moving on.
All right. Okay.
So let's not belabor it to our listeners. They don't want to listen to this. back to the Motor Trend Green issue. The most interesting story was a comparo between the Ford Mach-E Mustang and the Tesla. I think it was a Model Y. Jay, I think, browsed through it. they gave Ford a very high mark. The Tesla came out a little bit ahead in the who is the best between the two. Looking at the pictures, I just prefer the Tesla design over the Ford Mach design, partly because of what I noticed mainly about visibility. out of the car, from inside the car. The side windows on the Tesla are bigger, especially in the rear, than they are in the Mach-E. I think there was a better luggage compartment space in the Tesla than the Mach-E. But Ford apparently has done a pretty good job, in Motor Trend's opinion. It shows that there are other cars out there besides Tesla, which we all know are coming, and some of them are going to be quite good, and will be good. So it bodes well. I think this issue will convince some people that they shouldn't be worried about range anxiety, which is what my big concern has always been, because I do a lot of long-distance driving. And as Jay has said, correctly so, as chargers get more prevalent and more numerous, and depending on at what level they can recharge you, it'll be less and less laborious to charge an electric car. Although right now it is quite laborious to do so. There's an article in there in which they said recharges an electric car took 23 minutes, 35 minutes, and something in between to get a battery charged up to take them to the next charging stop, versus just filling up a tank of gas. And they also mentioned that some of these charging stations can charge quite a high charging rate. So maybe charging electrically is not going to be as cost efficient over gasoline, depending on how gas prices stay stable or not, of course. What the electric companies charge for charging at these stations. And of course, Electrify America gets a little piece of the action every time a car is charged. So that goes into what the charging rate will be too.
Does anyone know what a charge does to your, having a charging station at home, does to your electric bill?
I don't.
Jay?
No, I don't. I've seen the cost.
I'm more curious about in context.
Like. Well, Motor Trend had a little bit of discussion there, and I don't know what the figures are, but they compared a Volkswagen ID.4 to a Honda CR-V hybrid, and they specifically talked about the cost factor of electric charge at home versus on Electrify America charging stations. And I don't have them here, but they were between $14 and an electric to I think $18 per charge at the home station, and it depends on what time of day, apparently, because the electric companies charge different rates for different time rates, and they've known this for a long time, different time periods, because when you had electric hot water heaters, the thing to do was to have them on timers, so they would recharge the hot water in the tanks at night when the rates were lower versus during the daytime when the rates were peaked for the peak usage times. So that will continue along with a variation of gas prices and diesel prices, as we all know. There's variability in just about everything you buy.
Well, if we drink the electric Kool-Aid, then we have solar panels on our roofs and a Tesla battery as a generator in our homes, and we've completed the circle.
Well, yes, and those people who can afford all the doodads, all the Kool-Aid, will have those benefits, and other people won't.
So, you know, the automobile industry, the landscape is changing and changing rapidly.
It is.
But we will see internal combustion engines around for a while, and as
well,
we are
beyond
seeing now,
2040.
As production of new vehicles is being, if not totally halted, slowed down quite a bit because of the shortage, not only in chips, but also in steel and in foam.
And now in rubber tires.
The price of used cars has shot up I think it's something like 14-15% compared to the first quarter of last year. And the average used car now trades for $24,000. And as we go down the road and people get still remain nervous about converting to electric cars, these used cars on the market gasoline-powered cars are going to become
costlier.
Yeah, they're going to be pricier and valuable, and so they will be around for a while. There's no doubt about
that. Well, in closing, I spent last evening looking at Jeep Cherokees on Carvana, and I was surprised to see that there were many more or less the same age of mine, depending on the mileage, of course, that were all, I don't know whether they just raised them or they've always were there, but I never saw so many that were priced higher than what I was able to get mine for. And mine had a little higher mileage, 39,000 miles. There were some as low as 15,000 miles, and a lot of them were 25, 32.
So the prices change. Right. We are out of time, but you are essentially saying the prices change based on what the vehicle has in the mileage?
That's true.
Okay. He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.